Hello and welcome to Coronasode number 15. As I said before we hit the record button, some podcasts don't even make it 15 episodes. And here we are, 15 goddamn Coronasodes in, and we're probably going to end up closer to 20, maybe 25, because the shit will not fucking go away, and I'm tired of it, and I just want to have a normal life again. Hello, everybody, including Sam and Jackie. Let's go to Jackie first.
Well, my alcoholism's up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Tonight I'm drinking White Claws, natural lime. Ooh. I switched over from the vodka sodas because I don't want to be on the floor later. And I always drink too much when we do the Coronasodes. So, you know, I'm trying to not commit to a bad pick again.
So essentially you're on a light beer.
Well, yeah, lighter than what my vodka sodas are.
Right.
I mean, okay. This only has one shot in it. I mean,
well, maybe. Sam, what are you on?
I have a seltzer. I just opened it, though. I'm on my first one. I did 80 push-ups.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck. Like, before, like, while we were warming up for the show, like, while we were psyching each other up, you were doing push-ups? That's incredible.
Yeah. I didn't do 80 at once. That's, I can't do that. I did them 20 at a whack.
Do you think The Rock can do 80 push-ups at once?
A lot of big guys can't do a lot of push-ups. They're doing heavier weights and that. I actually have been, my life, been able to do 80. I've never been able to do 100 at once.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to call bullshit and say that you're telling us a fib.
No. Nope.
Okay. Well, maybe we should have a man off later and see how many push-ups we can currently do in sequence.
Considering I can do 20 real slow and then do that four more times, I think I'm going to be able to do a lot more than 20.
We're going to do knuckle push-ups, right?
I don't care. I'm going to kick your ass either way. How many push-ups have you done recently?
It's undetermined because I haven't done any. So we don't know how many I could do because I haven't tried.
If you want a really tough guy out, we can do knuckles on the tile.
Oh. Well, that's not necessarily like pain from the push-up. That's just pain from putting your weight on your fingers with a hard surface that's usually got schmutz on it, like pee-pee, because tile is always in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And so there's piss dribbles everywhere. That's not indicative of who's tougher. That's just indicative of who likes pee-pee less.
I'm sorry, did you say pee-pee dribble all over the place? Like, you're over 40, sir. You should not be having pee-pee dribble all over the place.
You should try
bathroom.
Having a penis for 6 seconds and take a piss. It's not possible. Like, yes, I know it's super gross, everybody, but guess what? Mankind is covered in urine because we have penises.
And we use them while looking at ourselves in the mirror and talking on, like, doing texting on the phone, TikTok, you know, not looking at the toilet at all.
Most of the time, the phone just goes into the toilet and we're like, piss phone. Who cares?
Well,
the phones are so
fine.
Good
I,
now that you
I actually didn't get any
phone.
Pee in the toilet.
That's disgusting.
It's
you
just
two.
All over the phone. Yeah. Don't be a guy if you are afraid of pee pee. All right. So we've cleared the drinks. I've got some news. We've got a You're Wrong Idiot.
Ooh.
And this applies, this doesn't come from anybody but myself. And I am going to accuse both Sam and Justin of being an idiot. Because it has come to my attention that the famed penis, speaking of penises, in Teen Wolf isn't even a penis.
What is it?
It's a vagina. All right, so if you haven't paid attention to anything we've ever said, for the longest time we've claimed that, as has much as the internet, that there is a penis at the end of Teen Wolf, where after he scores the winning dunk or whatever he fucking does during the basketball game, and is the town goes fucking apeshit, like they've been freed from the Germans, there's a shot where you look up into the stadium, and there is a fan with their pants unbuttoned and what appears to be male genitalia. However, there was a cut that was released in Europe that we don't have access to, where it was a larger frame. And you can see who this person was. And that person has curly perm hair and tits.
Maybe it's a man in a bra.
It's pretty much not. It's very quite clearly a woman who, for some reason, had her pants unbuttoned. And the white thing that is sticking out of her drawers is her panties. They're just white cotton panties. That's what you see.
Are you sure it's not a hermaphrodite?
It is not a penis. It is panties. Check it out. Look it up. I am 100% positive. It's just a lady. I think, you know, because of the extras and how many shots that the extras have to sit there for and get paid very minimum. She was like, dude, I'm standing up repeatedly because the director is like, he won the ball game. Stand up. And I'm tired of my fucking pants cutting into my stomach because this is the 1980s and pants are quite tight. And so I'm just going to undo them. I'm just going to let it go. And then you see her in the shot rebutton them while she's standing. So sorry, folks.
What's interesting about this is that I remember watching it with a group of people just to see and verify. And it was a early DVD and an older TV. And so it's not as crisp a picture, say, if there's a new Teen Wolf transfer. But we were like, yep, that's it. That's a wiener. We backed it up, did it a couple times, like, yep, confirmed. And then years later, I was looking on the internet for it, and I was like, I don't know if that's what I thought it was. All I can say now is that the person did whatever they did on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly on purpose. It's clearly intentional, but I just don't think that it was like, here's my box. It's just... Man, I hate being an extra. So, yeah, we're all wrong, idiot. We have some news. Some big news. That's bigger than a almost penis on Teen Wolf. We're going to have some scheduling changes to the podcast coming up. Not immediate, but Jackie and I, do you want to take this, kiddo? Jackie, the big news?
Oh, okay. I was not prepared for this speech, but I guess I'm just like, you know, when you win an Academy Award and you have to stand up there and be like, fuck yeah, I won. Fuck you. I didn't prepare a speech.
Stop doing milk. Yeah. Milk is bad. Cows should have freedom. And I'm a tortured artist and probably not deserving of this award. Goodbye.
Or they go, I just wasn't ready for this. And then they pull four pages out of their jacket.
Yeah, that too.
Maybe it's large print. I don't know. Anyway.
Teleprompter.
Excuse me. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can talk about it. We are adopting a child.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a baby.
No.
He's a little kid.
He's a grown-ass man. He's 72.
That's right.
He's a bit of a dribbler, but you know what? He dunks really great. You know, get it? Dribbling. Old person and dunking basketball. It's a sport. Okay.
That's our news.
That's it? That's all you're going to go into? Okay. Since apparently I'm the Jabberjaws and I'm ready to go. Yes, we are adopting a small person. We have decided to add a family member, and it will be happening within the next month. Congratulations to Jackie, and congratulations to myself. I am currently giving myself a mental high five. It's a jump high five, freeze frame, jump high five, freeze frame in my brain right now, because that's how awesome I think that this whole situation is. However, to you, dear listener, what that will mean is that there's going to be an adjustment phase while he lives in our house and gets used to acclimatizing to living someplace else that isn't a piece of shit place.
Well, what we're really saying is that we can't lock him out in the cold for
yeah.
the hour that we do the podcast. Right. And somebody said that was against the rules. You just can't lock him outside with the dogs.
I mean, it's a guideline more than a rule.
And, you know, it's winter time, so, you know.
So, yeah, we're going to have to miss some Sundays of recording. Sam is currently quite employed, so We can't record during the week because of work restrictions. So we're not going to miss every Sunday. We'll work with it for a little while, but we hope that you guys understand and know that we will be reducing our volume of episodes at least for a little while. But we do want to continue because as we all discussed the other day, you know, things suck right now, and even if we're just barely helping somebody with their week, that's enough for us to keep going. We do want to continue, and we're doing it for you guys, not for us, is my point.
Wait a second. Did you say that Sam has a proper job now?
Well, he has for
a while now, but does that mean that we're going to get a nice Christmas gift?
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow. That's
the
a dig.
Heat is on. The heat is on.
That, I mean, there was like that one year that things were bad. I'll actually just let the listeners in that one year for Christmas, I gave Jackie a set of car speakers that had been sitting in my closet for about 10 years.
That I will let know we had given him as a Christmas present about 4 years before that.
I thought that you gave me the orange ones. I thought I gave you the Polks. I don't know. I just had all these car stereos, yeah. And I was like, man, why do I have so many car stereos? I don't put them in cars.
Crap. Yeah, here's some crap, guys. No, it's okay, Sam. It's the thought that it matters, and someday we all could end up where you were, and
we've all been there. It doesn't, you know.
And now you're not. Now you got a real job, so we expect probably some sweet shit. Like I could send you the wish list, like, you know, like the circle of the catalog thing, you know, the Sears catalog. Most of it's just the Sears underwear section that I'll circle, but you know, I'm an adult now.
Am I going to be able to actually see what's on there through all of the caked semen?
Yeah, no, the pages are stuck together. Middle-aged women in bras. Hot. You know, Jackie, you know what that's like.
Being a middle-aged woman in a bra.
No, masturbating to middle-aged women in bras.
Well, maybe.
13 is okay. A rough age.
Yeah, well, so is 41, almost 42. Yeah, my birthday's in almost a month. So there you go. We've got some streaming do's and don'ts this week. I want to cut in because the SMAPFAs, I'm just going to go ahead and declare, are not going to happen this year. It's November. There's been no movies in theaters except for one that Jackie and I watched online, starring one Vin Diesel and maybe some other people, called Bloodshot. Jackie, go ahead.
Yeah. Once again, I'm unprepared with my speech.
Uh-huh.
No, this was a good one.
It was.
You know, it had a good storyline behind it, and you know, it's Vin Diesel, and he was just kicking ass all over the place.
But it wasn't shitty Vin Diesel. It wasn't like, you know, like Triple X or anything like that. He was actually kind of legit in it. Not cheesy. It was just good action that I think that if, like, it had been a Marvel Studios production and the exact same movie, it would have gotten sevens from Metacritic, but instead it got fours.
Yeah. I think it was underrated.
This is a really bad time for everyone, but it was a really bad time for that movie to be released in this time, because that was for him at Warner. He had been at the helm pretty much of the Fast series for a while, and a lot of that control had been wrestled away from him a little bit. I think he gave a lot of it away, and he wanted to do Bloodshot, and Bloodshot was going to get him the Eastwood thing. Had that thing been good, he would have got his own little office in the corner lot.
And then the Eastwood thing, so sitting and talking to an empty chair.
Oh, no, I just mean Eastwood got the deal, like, you just go over there, don't take up too much space, and make all the movies you want.
And do whatever you want. Okay. And yeah, I think it was unfortunate timing-wise, which was a lot of things. We still haven't watched The Invisible Man, but I really liked it. I thought it was one of the stronger action movies that went to the theater. And it's not like going to change anybody's life. It's not, you know, like, it's just
a great distraction though for the hour and a half. And you know what? It's not a terrible shit film.
It hour and a half. It was almost 2 hours long. That's what it, fucking thing moves.
Yeah. It didn't feel like 2 hours.
And it's not also like very confusing. Okay. The alcohol is starting to kick in and my movie critiquing is declining. But like some of these modern action movies have this overly convoluted plot, where they try to blend too much science fiction into it. And there is a sequence where you're like, wait, what the fuck is going on? But immediately, as soon as this like reveal happens, you're like, oh, those motherfuckers. Like you're in the exact same frame of mind that Vin Diesel's character is in at that point once the reveal happens, which is fairly early on.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you got to kick all these guys' ass. And he does. And so I gave it a 7 out of 10. Like, it's good. That's a good action movie score.
7 out of 10 is a good popcorn score.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time. I highly recommend Bloodshot, and don't listen to the critics or the user ratings. Just go watch it. And then we're going to just tackle this as a whole. Jackie and I watched the entire Karate Kid series, except for the next Karate Kid. But Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3 as a revisit. We hadn't seen any of them since we were children. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I had never seen the second or the third one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right.
So, no, I think I'd seen the third one, but I'd never seen the second one.
Okay, so let's just do a quick recap on your emotions. Everybody knows the story of Karate Kid, but what did you think about the first one?
Oh, I loved it.
Really?
I still love it.
Okay, all right.
Second one, even better than the first one. Third one, what the hell happened?
Why do you say any of that?
Just my gut reaction.
Okay. So that's all you're going to give me here on this film review podcast?
I thought the storyline for number two was better than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, it just seemed really like, quick, throw it together.
Yeah, it was very forced.
Yeah. And it kind of seemed like the heart just wasn't in it anymore for anyone. And then the first one was just super fun.
Hmm. I guess my big takeaway, and part of it is the Cobra Kai, because we'll just say Sam's not the biggest fan of the Karate Kid, but the Cobra Kai series is excellent. The way that they were able to reboot something from 1985 that the kids probably don't really care about, and make it relevant and awesome, and also just very good acting and storytelling. I realized that after watching the first Karate Kid, Daniel's a dick. He is a total fucking tool. I don't like to victim shame and ever, but he's asking for it, right? I mean, come on. You're looking at me like,
Yeah.
Daniel is a dick because he's not like, I just want to be myself and I'm being oppressed by karate guys. He's right. Like, I want to be like those karate guys so I can rule over them like a fucking tyrant.
Exactly. Like, there's a point where Daniel can walk away and be like, all right, the Cobra Kai guys are good. I'm good. You know, we've got more in common than we have different. And instead, he sticks a hose on Johnny's head while he's taking a shit. That's a dick move. That's a total, I don't care if you're the good guy in a movie. While a guy is taking a shit, you pour a hose on his head is a dick move because he's got poop in his pants now because you can't wipe your ass when you're drenched. You can't, the toilet paper comes apart and then you got poop on your hand because you're trying, I'll kick your ass. Oh, shit. Hold on, I got to wipe my butt real quick. And then you got the finger up the butt and you got the poop hand. Like, it's a dick move.
Has this happened to you?
I'm just imagining how much load is in Johnny's pants.
I thought that Tom Arnold had said that he just wraps his whole arm in toilet paper and dunks it in the toilet so he can do a wet wipe.
You got to have good toilet paper.
Maybe.
Johnny is in a high school during prom or whatever the dance is.
It's Halloween.
Halloween dance.
Dude, they're dressed up.
But either way, it's a high school in the 1980s. That's not good toilet paper. That is industrial strength toilet paper.
Yeah, the toilet paper in the 90s was shit. Let me tell you. You did not want to take a shit at school.
Yeah, Danny's a prick. I'm sorry. But Danny's a total jackass. And I think that Cobra Kai did a really good job of like kind of like revealing that. Like, yeah, your hero, he's kind of a dickhead. But Karate Kid 2, I think, followed the more heroic, scripting formula that I thought. And I thought it was a good way to, like, introduce. I think back then that Karate Kid 2 in 1987 was my first experience with anything Japanese culture, even though it was filmed in Hawaii. But, like,
what about Seagal?
In 1987?
Sam, back me up on this.
He trained with the masters.
Yeah. Under Siege didn't come out until 1989, babe.
Oh.
I just think that Karate Kid 2 was like a really, like, hey, you know, because they talked about the internment camps. They talked, you know, Mr. Miyagi's wife died while he was, you know, fighting overseas. In the fucking 113th, which, if you know who the 113th was, that's Daniel Inouye's group. And if you don't know who Daniel Inouye is, look him up. Longest serving senator in U.S. history. Just died a couple years ago. There's an airport in Hawaii named after him. Got his goddamn arm blown off while saving 60 fucking of his own dudes. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating 60, but a lot of his own dudes. That's where Mr. Miyagi served. And his wife was in a goddamn internment camp with George Takei. And that's goddamn bullshit. And I thought that they handled that very well.
They talked about that, though, in the first movie.
Briefly, but it really goes into it in the second one. Because Daniel finds all his Purple Heart and the news articles, and his son died while he was overseas and all that shit. So, fighting against the Japanese. I just thought that it was a really decent movie, and I think people throw it under the bus because it doesn't have Daniel kicking Johnny in the fucking face. I thought it was the best one.
I thought it was the best one too.
By a lot. And the third one just stinks. So
punch the boards.
Yeah. Right.
Oh god, I hated the third one.
Robin Lively is in that one from Teen Witch. I'd forgotten about that.
Yep, yeah.
She is no Elizabeth Shue.
So when they get to the Cobra Kai that I'm not going to watch, probably, do they introduce karate that isn't total bullshit?
No.
Okay.
They amp the bullshit karate up to about 50,000, Sam. Like, they lean into it hard, and it's awesome. Like, there's a point where you're like, is this too much? And then, because nothing bad is happening, like, people are flying through the air. It's like, it's like watching a Shokusugi movie and nobody's getting hurt until somebody gets hurt. And you're like, oh, okay, they did it. Somebody finally really got hurt. And it's a very important part of the whole entire story. So they dial the bullshit up and then check it back. Like, yeah, you can't fucking do karate like this because somebody is going to fucking die. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, so they actually did add. That's what I was getting at. Not that they added bullshit karate, which is good. Because when I was watching The Karate Kid, and I don't know if the whole podcast listeners know this, I fucking hate that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, I'm here for a karate movie. This sucks. And
yeah,
I want Shokusugi.
Yeah, it's like, not good karate in the franchise, but the Cobra Kai is fucking Shokusugi shit. It's insane.
And it's a lot of fun because it does go back and paint Daniel as this, like,
he's kind of a tool.
Fucking abusive bully that, you know, Johnny just couldn't get away from. And
I mean, like, there, honestly, Johnny takes one of his billboards because he's famous in San Bernardino or wherever the hell it is, Reseda. and puts a fucking dick on it. Just like Daniel's sucking a dick. That's hilarious. It's Daniel from Karate Kid. He's got a dick in his mouth. Like, it's a great show. I fucking love Cobra Kai. I can't wait till the next season.
Let's, before we abandon this idea of, like, getting to be the so-called hero, but then turning it into a huge dick. Mm-hmm. George McFly seems like kind of a dick at the end of,
Hey, you, get your damn hands. Oh, he, like, we could do an entire fucking Coronasode about Back to the Future, Sam, and the implications that are socially involved and relevant in that. George McFly is a bad, he's a bad dude.
Yeah, he totally, like, turns Biff into way worse than Biff turned him into.
Right, right. Yeah, which then turns Biff into fucking Donald Trump. I, like, it's insane that, like, how, don't do time travel. Like, it just is a bad call. Because you're going to fuck shit up. Jackie, since we're on a clock and you may have to leave this podcast up early, where Sam and I will probably just get drunk together and end up with a 3-hour podcast, why don't you go ahead and give us your spookies?
Thank you. I do have to be on a call here shortly. This one is called The Beast of Javondon.
Oh?
Well, you want to try again?
Javondon.
Oh. Oh, okay. Javondon.
And the reason I'm talking like Pepe Le Pew is because this story takes place in Maguerade Mountains of Central France.
Maguerade Mountains.
Maguerade.
Okay.
Maguerade.
So when, speaking of Donald Trump, when he opens up his theme park after all the lawsuit donations that he's currently grifting on, the number one... The Matterhorn will be called the Maguerade.
The Maguerade.
At the end, it actually doesn't even work. It doesn't even start. You just get a free hat and say, okay, thank you for your money.
Yeah, get out.
Get out.
Did you say it was the monster of Longishlong?
No.
The Beast of Javondon.
The Beast of Javondon.
I've heard of this before.
The date, Sam. 1764,
okay.
A 14-year-old shepherdess, that's mm-hmm. somebody who, you know, watches sheep.
Shepherds, as it's a lady.
Shepherdess.
Yeah, as a lady shepherd.
A lady shepherd is brutally attacked and her throat ripped out.
Oh, fuck. It was goddamn fucking Danton. Not Danton, Dalton.
Dalton.
Throat rip.
He's going for the turkey.
Yeah. So, from 1764 to 1767.
1764 to 17, wait.
67.
Okay.
So, 3 years.
Okay.
In a span of 50 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Where one man-eating animal with teeth and an immense tail that looks like a wolf is tearing people's throats out.
It's just, it's not even eating tummies or...
Oh, like, I'm getting there.
That sweet thigh meat that... You know, that thymie.
I'm like, getting there. So,
like okay. From the big ladies.
Okay, just hold okay. on.
All right,
hold
well,
on.
I'm thinking about big ladies and their thymie.
The beast was bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
The beast attacked 210 people in a 3-year span, killing 113.
Holy shit.
And partially eating 98 of them. So there you go. He ate more than the throat.
Well,
and some of them were very tasty, apparently.
Partially still is just the throat. If you eat the throat, that's partially being eaten. 113 people
were killed, 98 partially eaten, and 210 people attacked.
Like,
that's like a
fucking
dire wolf.
That's a lot of people. Like, so, like, we could be like, oh, this is bullshit, but like 113 people, like, there's accountability for that. Like, four bums, sure. Nobody can track that. Oh, yeah, the fucking chupacabra ate four bums one time. But 113 people, yeah, it's back in the 1700s, and maybe there was a little bit of storytelling, but still.
So I probably should have written this date down, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry about that, listeners. And no one gave a shit for, like, for like years, right? Like, nobody fucking cares, except for the villagers who are being eaten. Nobody fucking cares about these people until... Jacques Porte-le-Flox, a 10-year-old.
Jacques Portefeuille.
Just like stop the last three quarters of the word when you're doing French. Right. You'd be like, Je peux pas.
He's a 10-year-old kid, and he's traveling to see the king with a group of, seven friends.
To see the king. I've been invited by the king, and I'm 10 years old. Why is... like?
Apparently, he was going there to tell the king, hey, look, people are really pissed off about this wolf thing that's eating everybody.
Who should we send? Billy. Billy's the only choice to send to the king. So, he shall be our wolf emissary.
Yeah, so his 10-year-old is apparently going with his friends to tell the king.
I like toys.
Yeah, about this killer wolf or werewolf.
Maybe they thought he would gain an audience because the king was friends with the Pope.
When the beast attacks him and his friends, but they defeat the wolf.
So wait, hold on. All right, we've got 10-year-old Billy. He's marching down the road. Like,
with seven friends.
So these friends, they're friends. I'm assuming that they're also about 10 years old. Like, this is basically the villagers have enlisted a group of children to go to the king and be like, yeah, we're getting murdered because they're all too drunk, the villagers. And so they're like, let's send the boys. And the boys are like, we're on a mission. Let's go play. They're having a good time. And then they're eaten by a wolf man.
Well, they're not. Because they defeated the beast.
Okay, wait, what? This fucking thing kills 113 people and the Boy Scouts take it down?
Yeah, right.
No, they don't kill it.
Oh.
But they scare it off.
Booga, booga, booga.
Okay, they defeated the beast by grouping together until it fucked off. Like, they just sat there in a group until the beast was like, well, I can't kill all seven of these 10-year-olds. I might as well fuck off.
I'm out.
Yeah.
So they formed a Roman phalanx and of children. And the beast was like, yeah, I'm not fucking with that.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah, it was delicious pink flesh, but man, there's too many of them.
So he gets to the king eventually, right? And the king's like, hey, fucking awesome. Here's 300 lires for your trouble. and I'm going to give you a free education. Here's 350 more lires to give to the other six dudes that you're with. Because you're the only hero in this group, and the other seven people that are with you can fucking die.
I am Spartacus.
Yeah, apparently he's the smartest one in the group. That's why he was sent to the king.
This kid is a fucking con artist, is what he is.
And his friends get dick, essentially, right? They get some money, but they pretty much get dick.
Well, I imagine 50 lire back then is quite a bit. I mean, he's rich as shit now, but 50 lire is probably enough to buy you a house.
Yeah, so he goes on to have a pretty decent career. They don't talk about the seven friends. They're not even listed in the story. They're like, and seven other kids that all had to split 350 lires.
Oh my god. Okay.
Okay.
So did the king send out like?
So the king. He used a shit ton of resources. A ton of money from like nobles. He sends soldiers, royal huntsmen, and civilians, probably for bait,
right,
to kill this beast. That's probably where the beast was like, yes, there's another one tied up.
He's giving the Kennedy speech, ask Nob what you can do for your country. And Gary's like, I'll sign up. Put Gary on bait duty.
Yeah. So eventually in 1766, one of the royal huntsmen kills the beast.
So they got it this time.
They got it.
Okay.
And they had it stuffed and sent to the royal palace.
Hmm.
Right? And then 2 months later in December, the beast starts fucking killing people again.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And he continues to kill for like another year and a half.
Wait, so it got reanimated because they didn't shoot it with a silver bullet, or is the stuffed beast still just sitting there?
It's just sitting there. And
so they didn't
like,
kill the beast.
Yeah. So they're like, nope, we're not going to acknowledge that there's another beast. It's very Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
We're not going to acknowledge that there might be another killer beast out there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it. It's stuffed at the royal palace. You peasants
Mission
fuck off.
Accomplished.
Yeah. And so they
we
just
won.
they were just like, okay, so no, there's no more beasts. We've got it at the palace.
And so this thing's just...
And so it just goes on to keep killing people. Huh. And then the public record of it stops in 1767 because that's when the beast, its body, arrived at the palace.
Oh.
So they were like, nope.
So maybe it killed more than 113 people.
Yeah. Because there's
fake news.
There's reports that it continues to kill people, mm-hmm. right? But the royal whatever is like, nope, because he gave 6,000 livres to the royal huntsman. Who,
and 300 livres to taught.
Yeah, to this kid with a free France education, which probably means he spent all of his time in a whorehouse.
Mm. The kid or the king?
The kid.
Okay. And the king.
But, and it, the kid defeated it with a prayer circle, though, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe he defeated the faux Beast of Gévaudan.
It was probably just a medium-sized dog.
Right.
Well, they also have stories of a brother-sister duo that was walking across a river, and he had fashioned a knife onto the end of a stick.
Okay.
And then he stabbed it in the chest mm-hmm. when it attacked.
And it turned into Gary Busey.
No, but it just the beast, like, ran off, and there's, like, a statue of it in this town. I saw the statue.
Really? Is it sweet? Or does it look like that Cristiano Ronaldo statue?
It looks like a really crappy, like, 1980s werewolf.
Really?
Yeah. With, like, you know, in wolf form. And, you know, with, like, messed up hair and everything. And then there's just some chick standing there with a spear. But then the story that I read, it's the boy who stabs it, not the girl. So it's like, yeah, this must be a different story.
Or just completely sexist. Well, a girl couldn't stab a werewolf.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Well, that was a good spooky, Jackie.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't ever have any resolution to the story. Because the king just was like, nope, this is...
Done.
Done.
Defeated. We did it. We beat it. Bigger than... It's the biggest werewolf that has ever been seen, and we killed it. My Donald Trump sucks. I'm sorry. It's the Bigley werewolf.
Yeah, but pretty much, you know, the king just starts ignoring the rest of the reports about all these other people that die until he starts telling people, like, look, this is not a real thing. So
people
we
are
killed
saying...
it. Just write their deaths down as something else.
maybe the coronavirus has, like, more deaths than we could possibly imagine, but they're all being reported as werewolf attacks because, you know,
syphilis.
Yeah. Well, werewolf attacks, because that syphilis would make sense, but werewolf attacks, that's Trumpian. Good job, Jax. That was a really good one.
Thank you. I did get a suggestion mm-hmm. from a certain man. And when I started looking into it, I started laughing my ass off about how ridiculous it is that a 10-year-old boy was the first one to defeat this thing with his prayer circle friends.
Right, right.
It really just sounds like there's a village of people without knives or shoes, and there's a pack of wolves there, and they just sort of, like, run headlong into this pack of wolves every once in a while.
Yep.
All right, well, I have got some listener feedback. Jackie, if you need a bail, go ahead, because it doesn't say, "Dear Queen Jackie, you rule." The end.
Does it say anything about me?
No.
Well, then fuck you, listener.
Okay. It does have your name. It says, "Hey, Sam and Jackie and Justin."
Yes, second place. I'm taking it. Who's this from?
This is from Setanta. Setanta.
God, we're doing great on pronunciations.
Our friend who recently subscribed to us from Ireland. If you remember.
So, how are the potatoes?
God damn it.
Hey, that's probably going to get cut.
Jesus.
Not cool, bro.
Oh, it is great for you to write us. And Justin is right. I do have to fuck off right now. So,
yeah,
please
do. That was bad.
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah. All right.
So goodbye.
Yeah, just be normal racist, not actually insult millions dying, asshole. Okay, hey, Justin, Sam, and Jackie. I hope you guys are all well. Sending this on the cup of the U.S. election, or the cusp of the U.S. election, so this is a little old. Hopefully, you get the best of what you can from a two-party tiered system.
Taking shots. Get after us on the electoral system, too, but it's wide open.
Oh, it hurts. It hurts. Okay, I thought I'd send you some recommendations for Nonsensical November. I don't even know if you do Nonsensical November anymore, as I am all over the shop with your podcasts, mixing new with the old. I was going to listen to them in chronological order, but that went flying out the window like a fart from a whore's arsehole. These selections are nonsensical in the sense of someone tripping off their nut from taking acid, more like someone out of their bin from smoking hash all day. One damn day at dawn, Django, I always do that. Django meets Sartana from 1970. Sam, you're a Django man. You seen this one at all?
No, I have seen Django, I think Six Guns for Django, and Don't Stop Django, Shoot!
Django Goes to Africa?
You saw no, that one, right? No.
Okay. All right. Like all these three, it is one of the films I don't know how to rate it. It's so entertaining, and it has an unexplainable atmosphere that some directors either get it or just get lucky. But most importantly for you guys, it is riffable as fuck. However you say that, that's how you say that. You can slag the shite out of it. Oh, slag.
Slag.
Yeah, slag's a good one. Except for when you tell somebody that they're a slag, like,
is
to me, like, that's the hardest cut, or the choicest cut, the coldest cut. What is that?
It's a prime stab? Cut, best served cold. Cut.
Yeah. All right. I already recommended this, but apart from the title of the film giving away what it is ultimately about, the plot doesn't maybe use, will find making it a lot more sense than I did, but a great watch. I'm having troubles reading emails because I'm blind drunk, so forgive the pronouns mixing up with the antecedents or something. Okay, Psycho Vixens from 1978. I'm already on with the title.
I've seen this.
This isn't even a B movie, more than a Z list movie. Grainy and raw, but what a film. Could have been 15 minutes long, but they decided to throw lots of random crap in the middle, and thankfully they did. Apparently a cult classic, not sure how that works when only 12 people have ever seen it. What an ending. My spidey sense tell me Sam has seen this one. All right, Sam.
Yeah.
That's the verdict.
And also, I was probably really wrong with those last two Django titles. They're something like that.
Okay.
There's so many Django movies that the titles just get ridiculous.
So you're not going to talk about Psycho Vixens at all?
It's been a while since I've seen it, but he had a very good description of the middle section of it being like, what am I watching?
Okay.
Roman and I watched it. Oh, boy. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe it's time for a revisit. Sounds awesome to me. 1990, The Bronx Warriors. We've all seen this. I have a feeling you've all seen this one. Yep. Hey, there you go.
Yep.
Plot is random as fuck. It makes no sense, really, but lots and lots of fun. I leave you with my review. Yeah, we should probably fucking do an episode on 1990, The Bronx Warriors.
Yeah, it's a Williamson. We probably should. It's just... Roman has the Blu-ray of it, I think, and... Mm-hmm. Fred Williamson talking about the movie is actually more interesting than the movie, and the movie's fun, but like the Fred Williamson interview is dynamite.
Yeah. He goes on to give a very detailed review and plot description, and unfortunately I can't use any of it because then we won't have a podcast when we actually do the episode. We would just have to skip the whole thing, but he sums up cheesy moment to watch out for. Hot dog. Christopher Conley and his club foot shoe, which is an obvious hindrance to his lack of needing a club foot shoe. Keep up the great works, lads and ladies, a breath of fresh air. And answer you, Justin, from the Chronosone podcast. Hard Boiled by John Woo is like no other John Woo film, except for the explosions even spread across the table for making dumplings explode. Just to let you know, I left a review on the Podcast Addict where we listen to podcasts. So thank you very much for that. Don't have iTunes. It seems to be affiliated iTunes in some way. Yes, iTunes is affiliated with iTunes in some way. And I can't get in onto that Stitcher or whatever it's called. I'll be updating the reviews. I wrote it in a rush. Give you lads a proper, well-deserved, good review. Get to the chopper. Thank you very much. Yeah, Podcast Addict finally added review section. And it's very important to please, if you use Podcast Addict, give us a review because, yeah, it's only going to help other people like you find our podcast. So you're actually doing humankind a favor. Okay, so thank you very much. And write us with your own comments. Talk at stinkermadness.com or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at stinkermadness. Sam, it's time for you. Sando, what are you taking on this week?
I had like 30 things I could take on.
Oh, fuck, you're telling me, man.
It's depressing how much I could take on right now.
Yeah. You're fucking telling me.
God, I want to take it all on with a shotgun. I do.
There's something I want to take on so bad, but I can't because if I take it on, someone might hear it and then it would fuck me over and then I would have to retake it on. Like, I've got secret take-ons.
I've got so many take-ons, I would be in the middle of my own troll fire on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
But of the 7 or 8 things that pissed me off really bad today, including almost getting killed on the freeway by someone who tried to merge on the freeway by stopping. That's the best way to merge.
Did he look like me? Because I did that today. Okay.
No.
All right. It wasn't you. All right. Well, then 2 people did that today.
The thing that pissed me off the most was actually very recently. And it really has been something that's been digging at me for quite a while. So this week, Sando takes on photographers.
Damn them. Damn their black souls.
That is. Damn their black souls. Okay. These motherfuckers don't know what they're doing, and they're charging more than the people like that knew what they were doing ever charged. And they have cameras that do all the work for them.
Right.
I was going to take on something else, but I received a bunch of bitching to me on my Discord about what these family photos are costing. And the family photos people are the worst because they don't even have to hold. They're like, just stand there.
You mean like go to the JCPenney? Go to the JCPenney, you all wear matching sweaters, those people?
Yeah, but now they're in like the abandoned strip mall and they've got like a background and it's like, oh, we've got our own space. It's really big time in it now. And you just stand there and then they charge you like $2,500.
Holy shit. Is that real?
That's real.
Like as real as the Beast of Jevedon? Because that's fucking
No, because a prayer group doesn't get these people to fuck off.
So you have to get a mortgage for your family photos.
Yeah,
now.
Pretty much. Okay. The wedding photo people are worse because they actually have to walk around and hold the camera for a few hours. So they're going to charge more than that.
Right.
Like $5,000.
Right.
For a weekend. Oh, but we got to do all this work on. No, you don't. You've got preset Lightroom settings. You're not doing anything. The thing that makes me more mad about it is that I spent 20 years of my fucking life in a dark room and none of these fucking people did.
Yes.
And it doesn't, that's not their problem. That's my problem. That's being a dinosaur. That's going, you fucking idiots don't even know how to fucking do this. And they don't, but it's okay because I don't either because it changed so goddamn much that all you really have to be able to do is push a fucking button.
Well, to tell you the truth, you're wrong, idiot. Because this is a perfect time that I want to give a shout out to one particular listener who you know very well, Sam. His name is Stone. He's a hell of a gentleman and a person that I have hired recently to do a lot of my marketing work. You know him from video gaming, right?
Yeah, Stone's one of my buddies.
Yeah. I have a new product, a new company that I started. Maybe the listeners don't know, or I may have not talked about it, but I'm making essentially modular attachments for the most popular racing chair for video games. And Stone has known about this for a little while, and I finally got a product in my hand, manufactured in the USA, and by Sam's brother, ironically. And said, Stone, would you like to, you know, help me with the marketing for this? And I'll take some pictures of the product and send them to you, and you can make some sweet graphics and stuff and do the website. So because of coronavirus, what we had to do was do them in-house, meaning Jackie and I, because we can't go to a professional studio with our product and have them do it in, you know, with the umbrellas and the cool lights and all that shit, you know, because I don't want to get sick and die.
Or the $7,000 fucking bill.
Or that. So we did it with our own camera, and that is one of those all-encompassing, you know, big lens, telephoto, the flip-up flash, and the attachments, and the all that by hitting the one button. However, Sam, so we hit the one button, but you still have to know some shit, because what we did is we held a green sheet in the backyard of our house over the product, so that we could have some sort of faux green screen, and it still wasn't good enough. Like, Stone has to do a lot of fucking work on these images. So professional photographers who fucking know what they're doing still need something better than just a one push button goddamn camera, because we have that and our photos aren't very good.
Well, it actually leads me into where I was going to get softer.
Also, Stone, you rule.
That Stone's a super sound. He's a really talented dude. That's the other thing.
He's great. And also, he makes my life easier. And if I was to adopt him as a part of my budding business, like if I had a business empire, Stone would be my Don Jr.
I've already tried to make Stone the new me, and he's like, no, that sounds dumb. And I'm like,
I don't
want to
be Don
right.
Jr.
You're probably right about that. You shouldn't move to Idaho and work for me forever or whatever.
I just want to not work. I want to not work and have Stone be my Don Jr. Yeah. So he does all the work. That's what I want.
But the availability of the technology isn't a bad thing. And it's not a bad thing that any idiot can use it. Because what it really does is it makes somebody that has that eye and that talent, it gives them the ability to create great art. What pisses me off is that no talent fucks are charging $7,000 for photo sessions.
Yeah. And no brain cell fucks are paying that.
Yeah. And you can get a really talented person can take a better photo with an iPhone now or a good Android phone that has, like, the Motos have really good cameras now.
Dude, my Moto phone is the photos it takes is like, what?
Oh, you got a Moto?
Yeah.
I got a Moto. I love it. What'd you get?
It's got like 17 cameras on the back. I don't even know
what
any of them
do. What are you doing with all the cameras?
What are you doing?
I love it. I love it. I don't know how to work it.
Yeah, me neither.
But it's that sort of, we're at a crossroads of technology and the creation of art that is great, but it's flooded with the market with a bunch of people that really don't know what they're doing. And a lot of people that really do know what they're doing are either don't have $25,000 to just chuck at something, or like me, it just passed me by, and I have to accept that it just fucking passed me by. And no amount, and it wasn't 20 years in the darkroom, it was more like 25 fucking years I spent in a darkroom learning how to use lenses, doing shit that you don't have to do unless you're at the very upper tier of photography or cinematography. And at that point, I'll just admit, I'm not as talented as those guys, but I had to learn all those skills, and now you don't. And it does piss me off, but I'm glad that there's a bunch of kids out there that are going to be able to create messages with simple technology. And then these motherfuckers that are charging too much for their stupid photos, they're going to be the ones as pissed off as me, because they're going to be mad, not that, oh, all I have to do is push the button. They're going to be like, oh, fuck, I don't have any goddamn talent.
Yeah, I don't understand what composition means, or light balance, or saturation.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's more to it than that, but yeah.
No, that's it. Okay. That's all of it.
Yeah. We really also push the button if you're pointed in the right direction sometimes.
Well, I you know, based off of my knowledge, I think it's fair for me to if they're charging $7,000, I think I can charge about $20,000.
There you go.
Because I know the word saturation.
Saturation.
I could say that to some wedding clients and be like, you know what, we really want to get the saturation right on your white dress. You know, we want to get you know, we want to make sure that it's very vibrant. Vibrant's a good word, the sales word. Vibrancy and I'll crop it for you.
Sure.
I'll crop that dress.
I will
right off of you.
Crop that top off too. Oh yeah. Hot stuff. This is just became a boudoir session.
Ayo. Okay. All right. All right. We've taken on wedding photographers.
They're just general people that charge too much and don't really know what they're doing. But I
so
guess
J.J. Abrams.
The world's
Ayo!
Full of a lot of that, right? There's a lot
you,
of...
You missed that one.
I'm sorry.
So, J.J. Abrams, you know, charging too much?
J.J.'s got some things to say. He's just Ayo. Been in some bad spots. There's been a couple of films that I liked of his. I really like Super 8. I don't care. I have no, no remorse for enjoying the movie Super 8.
No, he's a really good cinematographer. I have no problem with J.J. Abrams. I just think it's funny that everybody's like, oh, J.J. Abrams, and it's mostly just...
Well, he's masturbating to Steven Spielberg, and he's not even shooting it. He's just like, find me somebody that can help me masturbate to Steven Spielberg, and then the two of us together will create an homage to him.
And then I'll charge you $7,000 for this movie. And then the studio is like, $7,000.
And then they're like, oh, fuck, this guy back-ended the crap out of us.
Right, exactly. All right, what else you got, Sam? Anything? Or should we wrap this one up?
No, I think that's as much soapboxing as I can do.
All right, so goodbye to you. It's time for us to go again.
Happy trails. Yeah.
Little cowboy on the
We could do that one. We should do that one. Hold on. Let me remember how if I remember how it starts, you can probably remember how it goes after that.
That's it.
Nope.
That's
blue.
I was setting you up.
Shadows on the trail. Soft wind blowing, say goodbye. You know, pretty soon that big yellow moon will light the way back to the one you love. It just repeats itself after that.
Little cowboy.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, it that does. Was... Oh, fuck. Oh, whatever. Good enough.
All right. Okay. Good episode. Everybody, we'll be back on Monday with Alan Quartermain and the Lost City of Gold. Put on your mask. Don't go outside if you don't have to. Please, let's please stop it with the coronavirus. I hate it so much. And also get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper.